I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Tim.
My. First, I thought I was going to get away with just a small group right up here in the front, and it would be okay. I woke up this morning nervous, and I continued to get more nervous. Right up until now, and now I'm even more nervous. Like I said, I'm an addict called Tim. One of the first things that I heard in Narcotics Anonymous was that I was the problem. I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and I was kicking and screaming. I didn't want to go to NA meetings. I only wanted to be able to stop having to stick a needle in my arm every 4 hours to keep from being sick. And I was comfortable with all the other things, at least so I thought, because I had been medicating all those other things and didn't know they even existed. So they dragged me to Narcotics Anonymous meetings in this treatment center. I had no choice. And I went to a little meeting in Baltimore where when you leave the meeting, they call out to you from the corner, "Hey, got your relapse here." And at that meeting, I saw a guy celebrating a year clean. And I thought, you know, they're not doing this to me outside of my house where I live in Laurel, you know. Maybe there is something to this thing, this Narcotics Anonymous thing. Maybe it's not just such a weird cult. So I picked up my white key tag at that meeting. And by the grace of God, I haven't had to use since. I've thought about it at times. And then I laugh at myself thinking, yeah, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. You want all that stuff back again. I spent a couple days in the treatment center and I had a few people talk to me in very hard terms. They didn't mince any words with me. Counselor pointed out to me that after two people had told me that I could not leave there and go home and continue my life the way it was and be able to smoke pot because they were going to bury me with a joint. I don't know what I was going to do with it, but they were going to bury me with it. She said, two people have already told you you're a horse's ass. She said, now if one person said it, you could blow that off because that's just one person's opinion. Two people said it. I think at that point, you need to at least look at it. She says, well, I'm telling you, you're a horse's ass, boy, and you better look on the back for the saddle. And I felt about that big. But see, I needed to be talked to like that. Some people say that everything I need to know to stay clean is in the readings that we read right in the first 5 minutes. And it's true. Everything that I, my roadmap to staying clean is right there. And it becomes my choice. And I made the choice to stay clean. The day I got out of the treatment center, I had two choices. I could go up the road, or I could go to a convention in Annapolis at St. John's College. And I chose to go to that convention instead. When I was there in the lobby, a guy that was standing across the room, and I looked, I said, yeah, I know that guy. And he was looking at me, and he was saying, you know, I know that guy. And he walked over to me, and it turned out to be someone I work with. When I went back to work, he handed me a tape of an addict called Vito. And I got a lot out of that. One of the most important things that I learned was what my place is in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And my place in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting is that I'm a suffering addict and I'm looking for relief from my disease. And that's the most important thing. And that is what I need to put first. Which is why I decided to say, I'm an addict called Tim. Not try to put myself above anything else. To try to remain humble. See, I wasn't a humble person at all. I had no humility. I had to be humiliated in the treatment center in order to make me think. One of the things that I heard on this tape, and it stuck with me, especially since I'm here today, there's a lot of eye candy at this convention. And I sit here in these meetings and I look and it's like, stop looking at that woman. Listen to what the person up front is saying. And Vito says, if I look at a woman in a meeting and I look at her like she's some piece of meat, that I've broken her anonymity. And right away, I'm violating a tradition of anonymity. And anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. I heard it said a couple of times in a meeting late last night, and it stuck with me. That is what we are. That's how we are able to continue. And I don't want to jeopardize anyone's chances at recovery. So I choose not to be the wolf at the door. And in my life, you know, I looked for your weakness so that I could find a way to exploit it. And by the grace of God and the people in these in these rooms, I don't do that anymore. And there's so much. I get so much from that, because people can trust me now that I'm not gonna steal from you. I'm not looking at a way to get over on you today. And I really, genuinely love that feeling that I can just be trusted in any situation. I can say I'm going to do something and do it, and people believe that I'm going to do it. You didn't believe me at all before I came here. You know, we talk about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. You know, well, I was definitely not honest. I was very closed-minded, and I was totally unwilling to listen to anything that didn't fit in with what I wanted. And that's changed. Today, I'm not always willing to listen to what you have to say, but I make myself listen to what you have to say. And I know I have a lot of changing to do still. I still obsess on things. I still act out at times. And I'll give you a good example. Last Sunday, I took a friend and her daughter's friend to the circus. I'm not thinking they're going to have metal detectors at the circus. I have a pocket knife that my sister gave me as a present. In order to get into the circus, I had to throw it in the trash. So, leaving, I went back to the security area to see if I could root through the trash and get my pocket knife back. And at first they said it was okay. So I went to take the bag out and put it down, and the guy said, no, you have to root through the trash in the can. So I put the can back in, and I took a couple of things out. I put them on the floor. And that's when the man decided that I wasn't going to be able to get my pocket knife back. And he came and he sort of shoved me out of the way, and I hit the door, and I went, man, let's put it this way. I told him what I thought of him. I didn't mince words. And he said, don't put your hands on me. And I just turned around and walked out, and he chased me out, and he called the police. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Tim, you're going to jail. You're going to jail, and all you had to do was just walk away. But I couldn't walk away. I had to say something to dig into that man's ego. It was a security supervisor, and when I did that in front of all of his people, it pissed him off, and he was going to have me arrested. Well, fortunately, that didn't happen, but I obsessed on that. I even called my roommate on the phone, and I said, I'm praying, and it's not working. I just want this to go away. It's the thing that's foremost in my mind. And God found a way to relieve me of that obsession with another one, because I went to work with the Clean Time program and make sure that it would install properly, and it wouldn't. This is a couple of days before the convention, and I got a program that I won't be able to install. I was able to obsess on something else, and the other thing went right away. And God gives me what I need if I ask for it. I've seen so many people come and go. The guy that picked up the white key tag at that meeting died of a heroin overdose a couple years ago. We can have it all refunded to us if we want it. Yeah, we can have it all refunded to us if we want it. We have a choice. I didn't have a choice before. I had to use. And now they told me I have a choice. And I'm really, really, really grateful that my higher power saw fit to save me from myself and bring me into Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm really thankful to my predecessors for keeping this thing going so that it would be here for me even when I didn't want it. Because it's here for you if you want it, if you're new. And if you're an old timer, one thing I've learned for me is that if I ever start thinking like I'm an old timer and I got it, I don't have it anymore. If I ever did, I don't want to go back to where I was. My goal before I got clean was to die. Not get clean. Everything was going to end. I had 5 cats. I even bought enough for them too. They were going with me on the same day. And another addict pulled me up and said, Tim, you know, before you got back into this crap again, your life may not have been the greatest thing going down the pike, but it wasn't as bad as you think it is now. You just can't see it. And this is another using addict telling me that I'm in trouble. You know, I got problems. So what do you want to do about this? What are you going to do? She says, because I'm not letting you out of this house. Not the way you're acting. I'm not letting you out of this house till you decide what you want to do about it. I'm here today by the grace of God and other suffering addicts. So I just want to say thank you and thank you to the committee and to all the people who've helped me and all the people who will help me. So thanks for letting me share.
Good job, man. Thanks for sharing. And our next speaker is Shirley.
Thanks for sharing. I'm an addict. My name is Shirley. And thanks for sharing, Tim. I guess I'm supposed to thank the committee for asking me to do this. They may regret it by the time I'm finished. So, anyway, this meeting is for the newcomer. And I am, probably will be the rest of my life if my sponsor has anything to do about it. Be a newcomer to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm here to share a few things. One of them is the lie is dead, we do recover, and we can stay clean in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. If you don't think you can, then I'm here to tell you you can. And I heard about the fellowship in 79, didn't manage to get clean eyes in the joint. And in 1993, I overdosed and almost died. And I hear treatment works. And for those of you that have done treatment and managed to get through it, you know what? Congratulations. I wasn't one of those addicts that could get clean in treatment. I kicked and screamed and kicked my habits, sitting in the chairs in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, and people loved me anyway. You know, I was oozing out of every orifice I had because I was kicking a habit and didn't want to be there and didn't want to be in the rooms and didn't know where else to go. You know, for me, you know what? The rooms are what keep me clean. I agree with Tim. Everything I need to know about staying clean is read in the beginning of the meeting. So for those of us who go to meetings and think we can run our mouths during the readings, we need to respect the person that, A, that doesn't know how to read, needs to hear that shit, and shut the fuck up. I'm not the one to stand up here and play. I got clean up here. I got clean in Virginia my first 6 months, and then I moved to Florida. And we have people in Florida that are Cuban and don't understand English very well, and the only way they know how to stay clean is by the readings. So if you want to disrespect yourself, please go ahead and do it. Don't disrespect the people around you. I need to hear the readings. Because sometimes, like Tim was sharing about, I shut down and don't listen to the message. Because I'm in my own head obsessing about what somebody's saying that I don't like. And I'm also probably looking at this guy across the room. My husband died 2.5 years ago, so I'll be real honest. I am like at that point now, 2.5 years down the road, that I'm getting a little obsessive. God, I don't believe I said that shit. Thank you. And the other, yeah, I will keep coming, because as long as I keep coming, I don't ever have to worry about coming back again. You know, I came in and out of these rooms for a whole lot of years. From 79 until my clean date is June 13th, 1993. And you know what? I'll share that with you, because if I don't, I'm going to have to change it one of these days. And I'm tired of changing my clean date. I truly am. And I worked real hard to get to where I am today. You know, I go into meetings, and it's different for me today because I've changed. Not only did I change areas, I changed states. You know, you guys have to wear a whole lot of clothes up here. And I was used to going where I live when I got clean in Florida. Well, my first 6 months were in Virginia, but from then on I got clean down in Florida. I could drive 10, 15 minutes and be at 6 different meetings. You know, and I got real spoiled. I'll be honest, I've been spoiled my whole life. I still am. And it was real hard when I moved back up here. And it's been difficult on me a lot lately. My roommates hear me rant and rave about every meeting I come home from. And I'm not going to go there. My sponsor's here, so I'm not going there today. Because you know what? I need to learn to lead by example and not by the power of my mouth. And my mouth will get me in trouble. It has my whole entire life. You know, I am one of those people that, you know, truly believes in one. I have a bumper sticker in my house. It says ODOP, which is one disease, one program. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I don't need to go anywhere else for anything that has ever happened to me in my life but to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Never had to, never want to. Any situation that's shown up in my life, I've been able to work the steps on. You know, my husband died 2.5 years ago, and I didn't find it necessary to shoot dope. And for me, that's a miracle. Because you know what? I shot dope when the sun didn't come up, when the sun did come up, when it rained, when it, whatever. I would shoot dope if my cat missed the litter pan. It was real simple for me, you know. And when I got clean, you know, I have to make my life real simple. I'm trying to work on a second step right now. Being restored. Shut up, Howard. I'm having a hard time getting restored to sanity, for those of you who know, who don't know me. I'm having a rough time. And one of the things about this convention, how many of you have less than a year clean? Stand up. Stand up, folks. All of you that are sitting, take a look around. Grab some of these people after this meet and give them your phone numbers. For those of you who are standing, look around you. For the ones that are sitting, get their phone numbers. Walk up and talk to them. You know what? Y'all can sit down. Go ahead. Sit. Kathy, listen. You know what? Your sponsors, for those of you who sat when I said sit, your sponsors are going to love you because you're going to do what they tell you to do. My sponsor doesn't suggest things to me. I'm not one of those kind of people that you can go, all right, sweetie, this is what I'd like for you to do. Do I look like that kind of person? I'm not. When I came in, we were told to work the steps or die, motherfucker. Works for me. It still works for me 10 years later. It's what I was taught. It's what I know. I know that if I don't work the steps and change, that I will work the steps and die. Traditions are in our lives for a reason. I was taught that the steps will stop me from committing suicide and the traditions will stop me from committing homicide. And trust me, I am one of those women. If you don't have a sponsor that doesn't work steps and traditions with you, my suggestion is no, find a new one. If you don't have the best sponsor in the world for you, find a new one. My sponsor takes care of me. You know, I call her up and she may look very soft and loving, but she can be really nasty. And when she's down home, I talk to her husband because I have that kind of relationship with my sponsor. You know, I can stand up here and do a fourth step. I don't care. It's on me. And the bottom line is, but everything I share with my sponsor, I know today stays with my sponsor. I come from that strip and that street where if I want my business in the streets, I'll take the ad out in the newspaper and I'll put it there myself. Don't do it for me. If you can't find someone to share with that you can trust, as a newcomer, I know it's an issue. But I'll tell you what, how many newcomers used to put their money in a hole and wait for the dope to come out? Had no problem doing that. I guess you can tell somebody your secrets. Had no money. I had no problem putting my money in a hole or in a bucket and watching it go up and praying. Trust me, I was praying that I was going to get my dope. But it was all about, you know, we come in here saying we don't trust. Bullshit. You know what? I didn't trust men because y'all had dicks. I didn't trust women because y'all had pussies. Bottom line, I would walk either of you through your pockets to get what I have. I came into these rooms and I found out. I did my first four step with a man. And I'm here to tell you, the only difference between me and you is the autonomy. That's it. Your anatomy is a little different than mine, but you know what? You got the same shit I got. I know men that were molested and raped and abused. You know what? So were us as women. And the bottom line is there's no different. I refuse to cut myself off from half of a fellowship. You know, we come in here and our readings say we're all equal. If we're all equal, then we're all equal. And you can help me. I know people with 2 hours clean that can help me. Because you know what? You've got that willingness that I sometimes lack today. You will go the distance. I probably should have stayed seated because I'm on a soapbox right now. Anyway, the bottom line for me is you know what? I do recover on a daily basis. I read my literature. I have to. I have a sponsor that makes me. And it's okay. And if I couldn't read, you know what? I had a sponsee down in Florida that couldn't read. And you know what? She reads today. She learned to read in our basic text. You know, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. So it's not about how much time you got or how much time you don't have. I know people with time. I don't want the fuck what you got. You're still miserable today. Please go be by yourself. I'm one of those people sometimes that is still miserable, too. And I try to back off from people when I'm in that space. I truly do. Because you know what? For the newcomer, y'all need to understand one thing. Life shows up. I'm in an area and the people that I have some diseases going on other than my disease of addiction. But right now, recovery is foremost in my life. And without recovery, everything else in my life falls apart. And I'm ill. And 2.5 months ago, I'm looking at, right? 2.5 months ago. Yeah, you're there. 2.5 months ago, I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous at my home group and shared I wanted to shoot dope. I got some problems, and I was living with my mother at the time, and my mother's cancer's back, and she's in her 70s. And before my husband died, I got sick when I was like three and a half years clean. My husband had to literally pick me up and carry me and put me on the toilet because I could not walk. Well, I can't ask my 70-some-year-old mother to do that. So I went to a meeting, and I was in a real bad place. It's what I wanted to do. And I apologized to the newcomers in the room, but I also wanted them to understand that, you know what, life shows up. Life shows up. And when it shows up, if you're not ready for it, you ready for this? Because I know, because I did it. You will relapse. I picked up 45 white chips in 46 days. Trust me, I know about relapse and recovery. And I like the recovery part today. You know, so I shared about it, and this friend of mine said, why don't you come by the house? And you know what? They asked me to move in with them. And they will look out for me when I can't do certain things. I pay rent. I am fully self-supporting through my own contributions. Thank you very much. And they are my contributions, and you know what? Today it's okay about that. You know, when I got sick and I was married and I couldn't work, I had a real hard time about not being able to do a seventh tradition. And you know, my husband pointed out to me, I got up every morning, made his coffee, fixed his lunch, made him dinner. We got home, did his dishes, and cleaned the house to the best of my ability on a daily basis. I was doing a seventh tradition. It's not always about money. But being a hoe, it was always about money. I didn't know nothing different. When you don't know nothing different and you aren't taught nothing different, you do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Ladies, I'm here to tell you, you don't need to be a hoe in these rooms. And if you're acting like one and dressing like one and there's not a woman stepping to you and telling you about your shit, then you need to step to them. I should never got started. Understand something. Just because you're a newcomer don't mean you're the same person. Look, believe this. I can be the same nasty street-walking bitch hoe that I was on those streets on any given day. Any day of the week. Thank you. And I will be 11 years clean June 13th. And you know what? Today I try not to be that bitch. It's not easy because there are times when someone will come at me at the side of their neck and I need to learn to practice spiritual principles, and my sponsor's working on that with me. I know you do, Howard. That's my sponsor's husband, everybody. He's like this tall and he loves me to death. That I work real hard at not coming from the side of my neck. One of the things I had accomplished by getting clean is I hadn't put my hands on anybody since I got clean. Hey, don't clap, because guess what? October of last year, this man that I know, said something sideways to me in my house, and I said, excuse me, what did you say? Now, most people would know not to repeat it. This is like the obsession compulsion part of my story. He repeated it. I said, excuse me, come here. And I said, what did you say? And he repeated it, and without thinking, this is how quick the disease will show up. Without thinking, I clocked him and knocked him on his ass. Now, I have since unleashed that monster again inside of me where it's okay for me to put my hands on people again. And on a daily basis, certain days of the week, it is an effort for me not to do it. I've always known how to speak with my hands. It took a whole lot of relearning for me to try to learn to speak from my mouth. It's easier to step to somebody. It's what I've been taught my whole life. My daddy did 20 years in the military and had a DI teach me how to fight. I could take an M16 and put it back together by the time I was 10. Trust me, I ain't afraid of none of that. But it was so hard for me to get the courage to learn how to talk to people. Most people don't talk to me because I'm extremely intimidating, don't ask me. I don't even have to open my mouth and they're intimidated. Go figure. It's the way I carry myself. You know, and sometimes it's real hard for me to, like, let down those defenses so the newcomer knows it's okay to approach me. You know, and sometimes for us with time, we don't see it that way anymore. We seem to think the newcomer's supposed to come to us. Excuse me, when I came in the rooms, the old-timer came to the newcomer. It's what it's about. Because I know trying to kick a dope habit sitting in the chairs, not only did I not have the couth, but when you're, like, sweating from every orifice and oozing, you don't exactly feel real good about yourself. And it's really hard as a newcomer to step to somebody and say, hey, can I have your number? Hey, my name is such and such, what's yours? And it was really hard for me. I told three different women three different lies is how I chose my sponsor, and Holly chose not to take it back to the rooms, and that's why she sponsors me today. You know, it is a real fucked up way to choose a sponsor. But again, it was the trust issues, and that's what I did. And you know what? Through the whole time I've been clean, I've had other sponsors other than Holly, but I'll tell you what, I've come back to Holly three different times. And it's all about wanting what she's got. You know, she's married to a wonderful man. They've got kids. You know, I see the insanity in their lives every now and then, but that's okay because they're human. And the bottom line, and they've got some kids now, and the bottom line is, you know what, as a sponsor, we are human. As sponsors, we are human, you know, and we don't always have good days. We don't. You know, I sponsor three girls, and actually two of them are from Baltimore. And, yeah, they're city girls. They don't like this country folk. And I do okay with them, you know. We understand each other, which is nice. But you know what? The obsession, the compulsion for me shows up in different areas. I stopped shooting dope. I now have a book collection that's incredible, you know. Me and Barnes & Noble and Borders are best friends. But it shows up in other areas. And if I don't work on it on a daily basis and put it in check, I can get real bad. I mean, I didn't have a lot. Well, I had what I needed. But when I came into the rooms, I didn't have anything. I'd laid in a hospital, gotten out of hospital. I couldn't work for a while. I went to work. I'm an underpaid overachiever, folks. I got a job, and within 45 days, they made me third shift supervisor. Go figure. Then I moved to Florida, and I decided I went to college to be an attorney. I got 43 pages of a rap sheet, and nobody's going to let me take the bar. So I did the next best thing. I became a paralegal, and I'm good at what I do. And I went down to Florida, got a degree, and I worked. My husband died, and my brother made the decision that his sister was going to move back home. So I moved home, and I haven't been able to find a job, and you know what? My bills are paid. My needs are met. And I'm worrying because my bank account's dwindling. Well, the bottom line is the reason it's dwindling is because I'm spending money. And I don't need to. And all my needs are met. I can go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting every day if I choose to, just for today. I can call my sponsor every day. I have this little cell phone thing now, you know. I hate it. And I can call my sponsor from my house. I have food on my table. I have a roof over my head. All my needs are met. But I will go into a store and say, damn, those tennis shoes sure look good. See? I am color coordinated today. I am Oshkosh B-Gosh. Which is new because I usually like just throw on a pair of jeans and walk. And you know what? I felt like getting dressed up today. And for me, this is dressed up. Because normally in my line of work, I wear three-piece suits and skirts and stockings and all that other happy horse shit. And even put on makeup and do my hair. And for me, that was new. Because I could get in the shower and wash and go in a minute and be out where I needed to be to get what I needed to get. And today I don't have to do those things. I can take my time and be who I need to be. And you know what? The nice thing about being a human being is I'm still trying to figure out who I'm being. Ain't about nothing else but that. You know, I have the choice on whether or not to find a God. I do have a God in my life today. And for those of you who are afraid of the word, it's okay. It can be a group of drug addicts, good orderly direction, or it can be God. I had a hard time with it because I am also not a recovering addict. I am also a recovering Catholic. And And Sister Mary Teresa cracked my knuckles in the first grade with a ruler when I lived in England, and God was going to get me. And from that day forward, that's what I learned about God. Well, you know what? Today, I have a God, and I see him in a lot of the people in my life. I see him how he shows up just in the sunrise. I'm staying on the eighth floor, facing the ocean. Got a gorgeous room. Keep the door cracked and listen to the waves all night long. And you know what? When I was shooting dope, I couldn't do that. I couldn't leave the neighborhood. I couldn't leave 9th and O, trust me. I was on 9th and O, not going nowhere. Fuck a bunch of waves. I would buy the CD, you know? That's how it works. For those of us who have been around a while, you know, every now and then we need to remember that there are people in the rooms, because I have a hard time sometimes. I will come straight out the side of my neck sitting next to people. My friend Michael has been a witness to this. I have a hard time. You know what? I have one disease, one program. I don't need to be an ANDA about anything. Alcohol is a drug. Yeah, it is. And Narcotics Anonymous is where I found my home. You know, I found my home in Narcotics Anonymous. I found a sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. I found a few friends, a few. And I worked the steps. And through working steps, I have found a whole new freedom to who I am. You know, one of the many treatment facilities I went through said I stopped growing when I started using. So that was a really good excuse for me, because when I started using, I was 8 years old. So I got to be eight forever. Peter Pan syndrome, yes. I loved being able to act out, and I still do sometimes. You know, and it's hard. Some of the old ways that are instilled in me are real hard, you know. Penitentiary is the one thing. You know what? I could go back to the penitentiary and probably be okay. Because you know what? It's a real structured environment. The only thing is, you know, when I left last time, I jumped over the line and jumped back in and jumped back over and jumped back in and did a cartwheel as I went out and said, I ain't never coming back here. I didn't go back to Jessup, but I went to different ones, but I never went back there. And the bottom line for me, what it helped me figure out is I can always come in here, no matter who I am or what I am. And you guys, whether you love me or not, you say you will, and you will tolerate me for who and what I'm trying to be today. And the bottom line for me today is to be a recovering person in Narcotics Anonymous. It ain't about my sex. It's just being another recovering addict like the rest of us. You know, you guys are in a convention. You have an opportunity that is not afforded to a lot of people a lot of times. You can get phone numbers from people from all over the state. I have seen people here from New York, New Jersey, Ohio, Maryland, Virginia, D.C. There's a guy here from Sweden. So look, that's seven different places you can get phone numbers for. There should never, ever, ever be a reason that you don't have a number to call when you're in your deepest, darkest hour. And if you don't have a number to call, guess whose fault it is? Not mine. I got a book full of phone numbers. It's on me to dial them. The hardest thing just for today to do is to remember one thing, and I'm going to close with this. If you didn't hear me mention God, it's because I didn't. If you didn't hear God, you weren't listening. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. We still have about 20 minutes, and before we open the meeting up to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the podium one at a time, and keep in mind that there are other addicts who want to share.
Hello again. My name is Sandra. I'm an addict. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to be standing here to report that I have 9 days clean today. The only reason is because I stopped being Miss Fix It and let somebody fix it for me. When I left D.C. 8:30 yesterday morning, I had about 85 cents. 30 of that went to a pack of chewing gum because I knew I needed to talk to somebody. And today I care how my breath smells. By the time I got to Ocean City, we got here approximately like 1 something. I had $45. I'm here to report I still got 25 of that 45. I don't do no borrowing. I don't do no lending. I didn't have to trick for that 45. I didn't steal it from nobody. I didn't even ask for it. Some sisters knew that I needed it. I couldn't go to Ocean City with 85 cents minus that 30 cent for that chewing gum. They wanted to make sure that I had money. And if they would just stop taking me places to eat, I will be okay. You know, I said, I'm 42. I like this size. You know, if I stay here two more days, I'm going to have to buy new clothes. I don't have a job. You know, but fortunately, the people that brought me here got a basement full of clothes. So at this point, I'm going to keep on eating. Because I remember the past 3 weeks prior to my 9 days, I don't remember what I ate. Reason being, because I didn't eat anything. I'm very, very grateful. I'm not afraid to ask a sister, hey, help me. And that's what I did. And she was another suffering addict that sat on the same front with me. She was quadruple addicted. I just smoked crack. But she's been clean for 29 months. So I compare my 9 days to her 29 months, and I want to play catch up. I want to live today. I like the reflection that I see in the mirror today. I don't care if you don't like it. I like it. And just for today, I'm going to keep coming back, and thanks for letting me share.
I'm at it called JR.
Hey, JR.
Hey, family. What's the newcomer? Looks like when I got here, I had your guys' last name, or your first name, as Attic. But when I got here, you guys gave me a book. And when I was out there in my addiction as a kid, the first drug I was a how to roll a left-hand cigarette. I couldn't really read. And like someone mentioned about the readings, I came from a special education class. But you guys told me a third edition. The only requirement for membership is a desire. Stop using. And then you guys told me, welcome home, the war's over. All you guys are my teachers. And you guys told me when I got this teacher, use her, lose them. Well, when I got here, this might defend some of y'all, but if you do, if it does, hopefully you got a sponsor and you go back to them. But when I got back here in this fellowship, almost 10 years, 1 month, and whatever today is, had me a female sponsor. And she told me when I asked her to be my sponsor, just do me one promise. Go ahead, hang out with the whites, the blacks, the gays, the straights, all is equal. Let's work with each other. Don't hurt each other's recovery. But that's like now today, that's what I needed. That person who had 18, when I asked her when I came back in, I let her go. When I had 18 months in St. Louis, Missouri, she told me she couldn't help me anymore. She can be my sister in this fellowship today. Now, today, she's already passed on, but I thank her giving me the 18 months. And the only time I saw her, maybe just a few times out of the year, but we pass each other little postcards here, little letters here. Merry Christmas, doing fine. Happy Easter, doing fine. But in St. Louis, Missouri, she asked me, now you got to get a man. And the man who I got today, like someone mentioned, if you ain't got a best sponsor, try to find one, because I found the best one for me. And the only thing I have with this sponsor, I have only one disagreement with him since we've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And like I said, I'm one of them persons from Ohio. He's a big Cleveland Browns fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. But we can't work that out. We can't work that out with each other. But the only way we can work it out is both of us are staying clean today. I don't look at the sponsor who I have as a sponsor. I look at him as a person who's got freedom, who could teach me how to work steps, how to get involved with service. And the first service job I did was H&I and ABCs. That was my first job being a newcomer. And ABCs is Ashtrays, Books, and Coffee Pots. And in my first home group, I was getting tarred cleaning ashtrays because you all smoked too much, and I didn't want to empty them. But that's like now today. I'm grateful for them. I've been places where my wildest dreams, but I still got to keep coming back. I'm a newcomer today. Because since I've been here, I can pick up that basic text. I can pick up that meditation book, read just for today thought, and try to keep a thought in my mind instead of where I'm going to put my next head at today. Because what a sponsorship and a newcomer taught me. Sometimes the newcomer helps me more, telling me to keep coming back. Sometimes, because I need to keep coming back in the past.
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan. I'm an addict.
Hey, Ryan.
I truly thank God for allowing me to be here, for real. But you said something, right, that I really wanted to say, right? And the thing is you said about you weren't one of those ones that could do it through treatment, right? I was in treatment, and my sponsor said something, man, that saved my life, right? Because he was one of those, I was in a treatment center, and they did the H&I commitment, and they came in. And he told me, oh, I see my sponsor, he brought it back in. Oh, he told me, he said, if you ever pick and choose who helped you, you will continue to use. I ain't catch it. So when I got out of treatment, I chose my sponsor. Because he had on a sweatsuit and he had the rings on. And then 2 months later, he told me, I fired. And I was devastated because I never heard them say something about they can let you go. So I used. And I went back to treatment and he came in again and he said the same thing. If you pick and choose where your help come from, you will continue to use. He said, pray. Ask God to send you somebody who cares about you and just want to help you. And that's what I did. And that same person that said that is my sponsor. And okay, I don't call him every day. But I call him. Sometimes I call him because I know he's not home. I just want to leave a voicemail.
That works so good.
You know, sometimes I do. Or I call him at work when I know he's not at his desk just so I can leave a voicemail.
That's it.
Right? But I call him. Right? I call him because I know that when he get that message, he going to call me back. Right? And he getting on me about my fourth step. But I got it on disc. Right? Because I put it on the computer and saved it on a disc. So when he say, let me see it, then I'm going to go ahead and print it out for him and say, see, I told you I did it. You know? But I wanted to say that because when I was a newcomer, man, I chose my own sponsor. And for the newcomer, don't choose. If you pick and choose who you think going to help you, you're going to keep using. It's just that simple. And that is true. You know? Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, family. I'm Luke, and I'm an addict. I was sitting in the back, and a couple of my sponsors are here, and they kind of encouraged me to go up front and say something. And for a minute, I felt some intimidation. So I know that whenever my disease starts telling me that I really shouldn't do something, that's probably when I should get up and do it. And for the newcomer, after being around here a couple years, I've learned that I got to come in here and talk about all that shit that I'm going through. Not just the little stuff. Like, I didn't like the way you looked at me. I didn't like what you said to me. But I need to talk about all that stuff from way back when I was a little kid. Like when my dad used to molest me from the ages from 3 to 11 years old. And when I went to my brother to get some help, and he helped me by doing the same thing. Because, you know, men around here get accused of minimizing the real stuff that they share. And we get accused sometimes of just sharing surface stuff. Because there's just some stuff that we're not supposed to talk about. But I need to tell the newcomer that if I don't come in here and if I don't talk about it, it can kill me. It can run me right back out the door. Don't sit in this room and let anybody make you feel like you just don't belong here. Don't sit here and let anybody dictate to you what you should or shouldn't be doing in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. If you want the information, the literature is here. You know, I need to come in here and I need to talk about those feelings that I had before my father died, and I used to have to go and take his diaper off of him, and I used to have to look at those places that I used to have to put my mouth when I was 5 years old. And I need to tell you that I'm so grateful that I had a sponsor at 30 days clean that I could get on the phone and say, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do now. I need to tell you that he walked me through it. And I need to tell you that God allowed me to be in that spot at that time so that I could forgive him, not forget, but to forgive him for the things he did to me so that I could benefit and move on. I need to tell you about being HIV positive for 22 years and being so grateful that I'm still here today in front of you. You know, I need to tell you that everything is not for everybody in the room. And if you're sitting here and if you really are scared to death and if you're sitting here saying, I could never share some shit like that, it is mandatory that you share it with somebody. So please step out on faith. You know, the sister talked about how, you know, she gave some information to 3 different people. And that's how she chose a sponsor. I did the same thing.
Yes.
I did the same thing. Because when I came in here, I had no faith in myself. I had no God. And I had no faith in anybody in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was in a battle and I lost. I got fucked up. I lost. And I wasn't about to have anybody else hurt me anymore. You know, so if you're a newcomer around here, please, please hold on. Please get with somebody. You know, I walk up to people sometimes. I will pull a bum off the street and say, come here, I need to talk to you about something. And then give them $5 or $10 just for listening. You know, I need to get to somebody and tell somebody how I'm feeling right now, right away. Because I still know where to cop at. I still know how to make a pipe. I still know how to peep out the window. Turn all the air off in the house. 160 degrees inside. Put the blanket at the door. Get the air fresh can. I still know how to do all that crazy, fucked up shit. And I just don't want to be like that anymore. You know, this new way of life, there's nothing like Narcotics Anonymous. Nothing. If you're here for the first time, you know, I used to say, well, if you're here for 20 years, I can't share about that because I haven't been here for 20 years. I can only share at the level of my experience. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like this. If you're new around here, please, please keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, everybody. My name's Harold. I'm a grateful recovering addict today. I got 7 months clean time. This is my first convention. You know, the most important step to these process is step one. You have to practice step one in your daily routine because, you know, there's people going to spread rumors about you, and it doesn't matter if it's in these rooms, out on the street, wherever you're at. And also, you need to surrender. If you don't surrender, you're not going to stay clean. If you want to stay miserable and don't want to be where we are today, go back out there. Misery loves company, and there's a lot of company out there. You know what I mean? Today, I'm a grateful recovering addict. I talk to my sponsor on a daily basis, whether I don't have the desire to use, whether I have the desire to use. And like you said, I talk to my sponsor's better half, and that's his girlfriend, as far as I can understand it. But somebody's always there at the house for me, and I'm very grateful for that. I give my numbers out to meetings all the time. I do 7 meetings a week. And just so happens I'm fortunate enough to where I can do that. My kids tell me I put my meetings in front of my family, my wife, everything. Well, so be it. Do you want me to be a using father, or do you want me to be a responsible father? So what I am, I'm in recovery. My wife tells my kids, well, maybe Dad will be well after a year. Well, she heard this on Oprah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Oprah knows, you know what I mean? Well, you know, there's one thing I told my kids, too. That just goes to show you how many people really know about addiction outside of an addiction. They don't know shit about it. My wife's a registered nurse and didn't know I was shooting cocaine in the bathroom. And that's a shame because I'd sit right down beside her and carry on a conversation with sweat beads drawing off my forehead. And she goes, you all right? Yeah, I just took a quick shower. And believe me, because, you know, that's manipulative, conniving, and very good at what we do. It's easy to hide the shit you don't want people to see, especially the ones closest to you. Well, like I told my kids, I'm going to be a recovering addict the rest of my life. Thanks for letting me share.
Everybody, I'm an addict named Donnie. Thanks, everybody who shared.